Congregation, we open the Word of God and we read from His Holy Word, Matthew 15, the verses 21 to 28. Matthew 15, verses 21 to 28. And there we read the Word of God as follows. Then Jesus went out from there and departed to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came from that region and cried out to him, saying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed." But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, "Send her away, for she cries out after us." But he answered and said, "I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Then she came and worshipped him, saying, "Lord, help me." But he answered and said, "It is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs." And she said, "Yes, Lord. Yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered and said to her, "O woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire." And her daughter was healed from that very hour. So far, the reading of the Word of God. The congregation, the portion of Scripture that we read from Matthew 15 about the woman of Canaan is also the text for the sermon this morning. And we sing after the sermon Psalter number 236. 236 after the sermon. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, we read this narrative about the Canaanite woman, but there is something puzzling about it. Why does Jesus at first ignore this woman? Because this was not his common way of dealing with people, even if they were Gentiles. Think of the many that came from across the borders to Jesus to be healed by him. They came from Syria, we read in Matthew 4. And Jesus healed them all, no questions asked about their ethnicity, about their background, where they were born. But here it is different. Jesus says, "I'm not sent, but only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Why? Well, one reason is that Jesus puts this woman to the test. It's really a test, a challenging test to her. Will she cling to the Lord or not? It's one reason. But I believe there's another and even more important reason. Jesus wants to teach his disciples a lesson. They had adopted the general opinion among the Jews that they were better than other people. They were distinguished people. For some reason that probably lay within them. Gentiles, anyway, were looked down upon as dogs. And it seems that Jesus adopts this view. It seems Jesus doesn't care about this woman. But in fact, Jesus is correcting the wrong view of the disciples. He teaches them that it is not about external rituals like circumcision or about ethnicity, what nation you belong to originally, but it is all about faith. That's what makes the difference between men. Sure, the Jews are the people of God, but they should not take this for granted. Only when they believe, they'll be saved. They'll receive the grace of God. So their covenant privileges have brought them very close to God. But precisely this should bring them on their knees, that they would repent from their sins and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. But even when a Gentile does that, he repents, he believes, he will be accepted just as well. So in that regard, there is no difference between Jews and Gentiles. And how precious a truth this is. We are saved simply by believing in the Lord Jesus Christ as our only and complete Savior. Nothing short of that. And nothing more than that. Faith entrusts itself to Jesus. And we find a beautiful example of that in the narrative that is before us. So the theme of the sermon this morning is the faith of the Canaanite woman. Now, 4 points to consider. First of all, she recognizes her need. Second, she thinks lowly of herself and highly of God, especially of Jesus in this connection. And thirdly, she takes hold of Jesus' word. And then finally, she receives her reward. So this is the line of the sermon, and we follow the text this morning. This woman recognizes her need. She has been brought in great need. What was it for? It would have been much easier for her if her daughter had not been demon-possessed. Of course. But then she would not have gone to Jesus either. And beloved, praise God for distressful circumstances in our lives. At the moment, they are not pleasant. But if this is the result, we will thank God afterward for them. Sometimes God uses those type of things to bring us on our knees. Do you remember that in your own life, that time when you were in such a need? It may have been some difficulty in your personal life, or in that of one of your children or loved ones. You didn't know where to turn and what to do. And finally, you bowed your knees and called upon the Lord. And then he answered you. For the Lord says, "Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me." There's a text to remember in Psalm 50, verse 15. Someone said the other day, 5015, that's the phone number of heaven. We may use it in our greatest need. And certainly, congregation, we do not have to look for any distress or anxiety in our lives. For isn't it true? God calls us every day. We stand in need every moment. We depend on God for our very breath. Think of the accident that happened this past week. It's a close call. And we can be in it this coming week. No, we do not long for trouble. Of course not. And let us not wait for some urgent need to arise. Come to the Lord right now. For our need is very great indeed. We are subject to all sorts of miseries in life. We are subject to Satan's temptations. We are plagued by sins within us. We live in a world that's constantly trying to draw us away from God. And the moment I think there is no need, I may be in the worst need. Turn to the Lord. You'll find a willing ear with Him. Jesus Himself came into our need. He saw our pressing need before we even knew of it. And He made our need His own. He suffered because of our sin. And so He took our sins upon Him. This woman, she recognizes her need. But secondly, she thinks she has a humble spirit. That's what I mean when I say she has a lowly spirit. Actually, I should say she is a humble spirit. She is not offended when she is humbled by Jesus. She realizes she has no credits, nothing to plead on in herself. Look how Jesus treats this woman. He makes her realize that she has no right whatsoever to the covenant promises of Israel. And of course, that's different today, after Jesus' resurrection and after Pentecost. But in those days, it would have been out of place for Jesus to go and preach the gospel to the Gentiles. So Jesus initially ignores her request. He doesn't even answer her. And the disciples take this as a confirmation that this woman is indeed a nuisance. She better leave. Oh, how harsh and insensitive we often are to those in need, aren't we? How little we often care about them that need help. And then we think that God is the same. Jesus explains this refusal to the woman and also to the disciples. I am sent only to the lost sheep of Israel. And that was very true. The Jews were like lost sheep in those days. The spiritual leaders, like the Pharisees, the scribes, the priests, they did not care about their souls. They were false shepherds. But Jesus did look after their souls. And He was moved with compassion for them. Now, Gentiles were looked upon by the Jews as dogs. And Jesus, He seems to adopt that view when He says, it's not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs. However, Jesus is not speaking here about the wild dogs that are roaming the streets, but about those little house dogs. They were sort of part of the family. They lived at the homes with the families, and although they were but poor dogs, they were treated well. They were allowed to eat the food that fell from the table. And I imagine that the children sometimes dropped some food on the floor for those dogs. Just as we would do, wouldn't we? Now look how this woman is not offended when she is compared with a dog. Because she could have left right away, complaining about such a harsh treatment. She's surely tested here. But she agrees, she submits, she says, "Yes, Lord, it's true." Even she has such a high view of Jesus, she calls him Lord, she calls him Son of David. Somehow she must have heard that about him. And she thinks very, very highly of the Lord Jesus, despite his seemingly harsh treatment. Have you ever been tempted, beloved, to think that it is no use praying to God? He won't hear me anyway. Some people say they've tried it once or twice. They didn't get an answer, so they quit praying. And they think they have a reason for complaining about God. God is slow to hear. He seems to be deaf. So people are confirmed sometimes in their unbelief. They distrust God. Actually, they never trusted in him. This is a lesson for us too. In order to pray right, we must realize our own unworthiness, our sinfulness. God would do no injustice to us if he would not listen at all to us. It's very humbling to our pride. But unless we realize this, we'll always be puzzled about God's dealing with men. If we think we are well deserving, we will be offended. But if we realize that we are hell deserving, we will be submissive. By nature, we all are like erring sheep. All of us have gone astray. Rebels in God's eyes. Why should the Lord hear us? This is, however, not the only thing. And that's our third point this morning. Let us also see how this woman lays hold of the word of Jesus. There are some people that think, yes, we must confess our sin, and then we'll wait and see. Because God is not obliged to us for anything, he doesn't owe us anything. Perhaps you may be lucky and receive an answer, or perhaps not. But beloved, do you know, that's not God honoring. We do not honor God when we only confess our sinfulness, but we ought to do so while fervently pleading God's promises, firmly trusting in him. Then we honor the Lord. Look at this woman again. Jesus seems to put her away, to push her away. But is he really? He has said that it is not right to give the bread to the dogs. And here, this woman sees an open door. And she seizes the opportunity. Dogs, they receive food that fall from the table of their master. They're not chased away. They're allowed to eat the same food as the children eat. And this woman acknowledges that she, as a Gentile woman, has no right to the promises of the covenant. It's true. No title to the grace of God. But she is not excluded either. The Lord may still grant her a portion, even if it is the least portion. Nothing prevents him from giving her this privilege. Now you may look upon yourself as an unworthy creature. And it is all true. We are. But have you looked upon the Lord already as a gracious God? A God who lives up to His promises? God is like a king who gives freely and abundantly. Our conscience accuses us. The devil points us to our sins. And should we deny or minimize our sin? Well, we'll never get away with that. It's even worse with you and I than we realize. So when we are reminded of our failures and our sins, then let us say, true, O Lord, I am bad, but you are good. That's the whole point. Not the question who we are, but who God is. That's decisive. And then look in the Word of God and read all the promises on every page. There is one or more. And take hold of them. Just as this woman clung to the Lord Jesus, she saw an open door where others might have seen only a closed door. See if there is some promise, some encouragement for you. And in fact, I assure you, there are many. On every page of Scripture, promises like, just to mention a very, very few, the Lord upholds all who fall and raises up all who are bowed down, all. That does not exclude you, does it? Or He will deliver the needy when he cries, the poor also, and him who has no helper. So in my worst condition, there is the Lord Jesus Christ who will deliver me as a needy person. The blood of Jesus Christ, it says, 1 John, first chapter. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. And then we read in another psalm, the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will He withhold from those who walk uprightly. Psalm 84. Well, those who walk uprightly are not those who are perfect. But they are the ones that do not hide anything from the Lord. They do not cover up their sins. They do not pretend they are better than they are. Oh, how gracious and good the Lord is. He waits to be gracious to us. Now, finally, our fourth point, faith receives its reward. When the test is over, Jesus grants this woman her request. Woman, you have great faith, he says. And Jesus heals her daughter instantly. He doesn't need to go and see the child first. Even from this distance, he delivers her daughter from her demon possession. You can compare with the Gospel of Mark, where we read the same narrative, and there the woman finds her child home healed. Great is the reward for those who trust in Christ. Of course, needless to say, this reward is of grace. It's not because we deserve it. Grace from the beginning to the end. And the same He gives to those who trust in Him now. Not every single request may be granted. If it is not good for us, the Lord will deny it to us. But that is also included in our prayer, isn't it? Lord, keep it from me if you see need for that. But at the same time, the Lord fulfills all His promises. We can trust Him for that. The big promise is salvation to those who believe. By believing in Christ, we are right with God. Our sins are forgiven, completely forgiven. And nothing will be in the way to grant us eternal salvation, because it is purchased in the way of righteousness. Now we believe for nothing less than that. Put your hand on God's promises and plead with the Lord. Do you believe? Do you trust in the Lord? Or there may be here this morning that are hesitant. You doubt if it is for you. Maybe some are afraid to believe, afraid to be disappointed. You have been disappointed many times in your life because how people dealt with you, and now you are afraid that God will disappoint you too. There may be that are afraid of what people will think of you or how they will judge you. But may I encourage you this morning? Think of that Roman centurion, Matthew 8. He was a Gentile. Yet he believed, and he was granted his request. Think of this Canaanite woman. She had no rights of herself. She did not let the disciples send her away. Now, if Jesus were here this very morning in person, would you go to him and cry to him, "Lord, help me"? Would you call upon him? You know, Jesus is here by his grace, with his Spirit. He is everywhere present. Although he's in heaven at the right hand of God, according to his human nature. But as for his divine nature, he is here. You have many more privileges than this woman. We know about Jesus' death and resurrection, which this woman didn't know about. The Holy Spirit has been poured out. We live after Pentecost. And you, at least, I believe, most of you, if not all of you, have been baptized. God has sealed his promise to you already in your baptism. But even if you're not baptized, God will still do good to you. Come to the Lord boldly. Acknowledge that he is God, the sovereign God of heaven and earth. There is no God beside him. It's the God of the Bible. The God of Holy Scripture. And he is powerful to save. Jesus is ready to save to the uttermost. Oh, how we are left without excuse, congregation, if we do not pay attention to such a salvation. God is offering us peace and pardon. And what hope is left for those who refuse the grace of God? How are we to escape? Coming to church is good and necessary. It is a means in which the Lord is willing to lead us to a saving faith. But just coming to church and sitting in the pews is not sufficient for our salvation. We must repent. We must believe. And to that end, the gospel is preached. Oh, let us do so at once. Let's not be like unbelieving Israel. Let's not trust in covenant privileges as such as they are saving. Let us not harden our hearts. And when you believe, then keep trusting in the Lord. Your faith will be tested for sure during your Christian journey through life. But the Lord will keep you, and He will save you to the uttermost. Your faith may be very small, little faith. Still, it is good enough. Just like the disciples, they had little faith. As long as it is a living faith in Jesus. Jesus will not refuse us for the smallness of our faith, but seek to increase your faith. Small faith is still saving faith as long as it trusts in Jesus and in His finished work. Seek greater faith. That will be God-honoring and comforting to yourself. Oh, beloved, how rich we are if the Lord would say to you and to me today, woman, man, great is your faith. Your request is granted. I will give you grace here and glory hereafter for Jesus' sake. Amen.